And that's what we're going to try to do tonight. Amen. And amen. I want you to go with me tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. And I appreciate that song that they just sung. And the message of it is, Lord, take my life and fill in the blank. And whatever your plan is, I promise you God has a greater plan. And Jesus said that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And no doubt the devil wants to destroy somebody's life in here tonight. But Jesus said that I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly tonight. Amen. And I appreciate what little bit that I have seen and what little bit that I have experienced in my life. And I'm thankful that when the Lord saved me, He hitched me up to some people that knew God. Amen. And never forget those people. Never forget those experiences. And praise the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Amen. We're going to go in a little bit of a different direction tonight. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. And I realize tonight that I am probably opening a can of worms coming to this text. And this text presents great difficulty to us tonight. Amen. But I do not want to be difficult. I want to be very clear, want to be very concise, and be very constructive in what we're going to say to you tonight. And it is our desire to be a help to you and a help in your Christian life. And this is not really a subject that we talk about that much. And I'm talking about the subject of Christian liberty this evening. If you're a preacher tonight, that's probably your least favorite doctrine. Amen. Because we like to tell people what they need to do, and we like to order things about, but Christian liberty is a valuable doctrine in the Word of God, and I want to be a help to you tonight. Amen. Y'all don't be nervous. I'm nervous. Amen. I'm the one doing the preaching, so y'all relax tonight. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I will not be long. I want to be as brief as I can, but I want to be as direct as I can as well, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1. Paul said, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." What a testimony that is. "As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, little g, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And though thy knowledge and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray, God, that you would help us tonight. Lord, you've directed our heart and our thoughts to this place tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And God, give the message that which you desire. Lord, I understand that's kind of strange, unfamiliar territory to some of us, kind of an obscure text. But Lord, I pray, God, that you just help us, Lord, to set our affection upon things above. Lord, look to you. And Lord, may we draw strength from the Word of God on this midweek service tonight. And I pray that Christ would be exalted, the people of God would be edified and exhorted, and Lord, that you'd be pleased with everything that's said and done. Lord Jesus, we love you. We ask you, Lord, that you'd move in our midst, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen And amen. As we look at the Word of God here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, we know and we understand that the Apostle Paul is dealing with what we would like to address and call a moral dilemma. Amen. There is a problem that is present here in this ancient or in this early church, if you will, that is still a problem that is present today. Amen. Sometimes we face issues in this world, and the issue is very clear tonight where the Word of God stands. We take the issue of abortion, and we know and we understand that taking anyone or anybody's life is murder tonight. Amen. That's plain. You don't even have to go to school to figure that out tonight. Amen. That is cut and that is dry. He said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. There are things in the Word of God that are black and white. They are cut and dry, they are easily understood, and they are easily grasped even by the most immature mind tonight. But sometimes, living in this world, things can become complicated and things can kind of enter into a gray area, and the question often arises, what do we do with those things? What do we do when we enter into those situations tonight? Amen. While there is no black or white distinction concerning what we are to do, whether something is right or wrong, those situations are deferred to our conscience tonight. Amen. I'm going somewhere, okay? But oftentimes Christians in the early century, namely individuals who had grown up around idol worship, they even partook of this in themselves before they ever got saved. They were faced with this dilemma, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, as to what to do with this meat that has been offered up unto idols. This results in a moral dilemma, and here the Apostle Paul deals with this moral dilemma and tries to give help to these Christians here at the church at Corinth. Now, there are two guidelines for conscience tonight. Amen. There are two guidelines for the Christian conscience, and to they're given to us in this chapter. In the opening verses, we find in verse number 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And there they are. They're defined for us. They're given for us. In verse number 1, there are two things that guide the Christian's conscience, thus guiding the Christian's actions tonight. And number 1, they are knowledge. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what we're not supposed to do. We know how we're to live. We know how we're to conduct ourselves, because the Word of God tells us tonight. Amen. Thank God I know how to live as a Christian because the Bible said so. Amen. We learned as a child. Thank God Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank God that we have a divinely inspired Word of God tonight. We have God's direct and God's will for our life, and we can look to God's Word and we can know how we are to conduct ourselves tonight. Amen. We are given the knowledge through the Word of God as to what God would have us to do. Amen. Conduct is regulated by our knowledge. But then, can I say this tonight, that our conduct is not only regulated by knowledge, but our conduct is regulated by love. Amen. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples that if you love me, keep my commandments. He said the commandments of the Lord are not grievous tonight. Amen. It ought to, and sometimes it is, but it ought not to be every single day that we live a struggle to do right all the time, because we've been given a new nature. There is love that is present in our heart that was not present there. Amen. There is a void that has been filled by the Word of God, and thank God we are motivated and we are directed and we are energized by the love of God to please Him tonight. So our knowledge is, our conduct is regulated by knowledge, and our conduct is regulated by love. In other words, charity, as it's mentioned in verse number 1. Here's what knowledge does. Knowledge blows up, amen, but love builds up tonight, amen. Knowledge is selfish, while love is selfless tonight. Knowledge is motivated by conceit, while love is motivated by concern. Love is greater than knowledge, and love is greater than liberty tonight. Amen. He mentions that liberty in verse number 9, and there is a warning that's given with it tonight. He said, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak tonight. Amen. One writer said this. He said, the desire of power in excess caused angels to fall. He said the desire of knowledge in excess caused man to fall. But with love there is no excess. Neither man nor angels can come into danger by it tonight. Amen. The Apostle Paul spoke such true words when he said tonight that charity never faileth tonight. Amen. You'll never do wrong doing what you're doing when it is motivated by a love for God and a love for your fellow man tonight. Amen. There are three areas that I want to look at concerning Christian liberty, and there are three areas we are accountable in tonight. Number one, I want you to see concerning Christian liberty and to find some answers concerning these questionable things tonight. Number one, I want you to see that you and I tonight are without doubt accountable to God. Look in verse number 3. He said, But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Amen. He talks about our knowledge, and he talks about our charity or our love. And he mentions in verse number 2, if any man think that he knoweth anything, in other words, if you think that you have knowledge, the Bible said he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Listen, you think that you know a lot and you think that you've come a long way, but listen, none of us are able to graduate from the school of learning while we're living this Christian life. Amen. It's amazing that when you get saved and you start out, especially if you're young, boy, you think you know a whole lot. Amen. But as you go through life, you come to the understanding of how little you know tonight. Amen. He said, but if any man love God, the same is known of him tonight. Amen. He mentions our accountability to God. Amen. Listen, it is love tonight that's mentioned in verse number 3, and the love towards God that perfects all of our relationships tonight. Amen. Love can perfect all human relationships because it projects and it reflects the perfect relationship that is love that is extended from God to man and God and man back to God tonight. Amen. And that's only possible tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ. God had manifested himself in the flesh. God had put his love on display tonight. He said, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us tonight. Amen. There is no question tonight as to whether God loves you. You ought to never have to wonder about that and ask that question. Does God love me? The Bible is very clear that God loves humanity and God loves you tonight. Amen. And our accountability to God is motivated by the perfection of his love tonight. Listen, I can't love like I'm supposed to. You can't love like you're supposed to. Somebody may love me, and I really can't reciprocate that love back to them the way that I ought to outside of a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Love is the motivator of our accountability to God. Think about it like this, a marriage covenant tonight. Listen, a marriage covenant, it is enacted and it is sealed and it is represented and it is verified through a marriage license tonight. Amen? But listen, in order for me to love my wife and in order for me to be reminded to love my wife, I think it's in a closet somewhere right now. I had it on the wall at the previous place that we lived. But I don't have to go dig that marriage certificate out and dig that marriage license out and check if both of our names are on there and if the preacher that married us is still alive. And I don't have to look at that license and be convicted about loving my wife tonight. Amen. Or doing for her or providing for her. No, listen, there is a law that has been given. There is knowledge that I have tonight. But the motivation to get up and to provide for her and to provide for those children is not motivated by knowledge tonight, but it is rather motivated by love tonight. Amen. We ought to live our life in such a way and be accountable unto God that we're not running around scared to death that He's going to strike us with a lightning bolt out of the sky and judge us at every waking moment. Listen, no, God displayed His love and He put that love inside of us tonight. And the great motivation for living for Him is not necessarily the law or the do or the don't, but it is the love that was displayed by Him at Calvary. And it is the love that we've experienced in our own heart and our own life tonight. Amen. Love is the motivator of our accountability to God. Now, concerning this idea of liberty and being accountable to God tonight. Amen. Listen, if the Spirit of God tells us not to do a certain thing, I don't necessarily have a chapter and verse for it. I may have a principle there, but if I do not have chapter and verse and the Spirit of God speaks to me about not doing something and I do that tonight, I break off that intimacy of contact that I have with Him. And it's easier for me to reject Him. It's easier for me to snub Him. It's easier for me to say no to Him the next time. Amen. That's just how it is tonight. It becomes easier and easier and easier to ignore that voice tonight. And sometimes we would become argumentative with God and say, well, God, that's kind of a gray area. We don't really have a chapter and verse on that tonight. But listen, we know that when the Spirit of God deals with us, we know that it is motivated by love. And thank God, He has our best interest in mind tonight. Amen. We become less sensitive to His voice when we tell Him no. We become less sensitive to His voice when we grieve the Spirit of God. We become less sensitive to His voice when we quench the Spirit of God tonight. And next time, we may not hear so easily tonight. Amen. These two things regulate our accountability to the Word of God, or the will of God tonight. And it is indeed the Word of God or the will and the will of God tonight. Amen. The cause of many of mine and your internal struggles is the lack of harmony between our will and God's will tonight. Oftentimes we want to do something and we know that God is leading us in another direction. And oftentimes we want to stiffen our neck and say no to the Lord. But listen, ultimately we are accountable to God tonight. Listen, Jonah had to figure that out the hard way. Jonah had to figure that out with great difficulty. There was a wind and there was a whale and listen, there was a worm tonight. Amen. And God used all of those things and God had to incorporate all of those things because there was one thing that Jonah chose to neglect and it was the Word of God tonight. Amen. The Word of the Lord came unto Jonah. If you'll not listen and hear the Word of God, listen, there may be a wind and there may be a whale and there may be a worm that God ends up using to try to get your attention tonight, amen, and to gain your obedience. What God knows tonight is God's will tonight and God's direction and what God knows tonight is always greater than our desire and our will and what we know tonight, amen. The Bible provides the answer tonight to how we are to regulate our conduct. How are we to deal with this dilemma tonight of not having black and white, cut and dry instruction on certain matters? Number one, the checks in our spirit. Does this offend God? Does it offend God tonight? We are accountable to God. It goes a little deeper tonight. We see our accountability to God. But then secondly tonight, I want you to consider this. We're not only accountable to God with those gray areas in our life. We are accountable to ourself. We are accountable to ourself. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 12, he said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." What is Paul dealing with? Paul is dealing with this idea of liberty tonight. And Paul says this. He said, "All things are lawful unto me. I am an individual of grace. I am saved by the grace of God. There are things that I am allowed to do in this world that are lawful for me. But listen to me, Christian. They may not be best for you. There are things that you can do and there are things that you can quote unquote, and especially the society that we live in, hardly nobody's going to bat an eye. much less many Christians. There are things that you can do that you can certainly, without doubt, get away with. But listen, there is a still, small voice that you cannot escape. There is a presence that is always abiding with you, that knows your heart, and He is directing you, and He knows what is best for you tonight. Amen. So you may be able to do it. But is the Lord pleased tonight? Are you sinning against your own conscience doing that? Boy, that's a great regulator for our conduct. Amen. That's a great regulator for our movement and our being in this world tonight. Listen, Paul here deals with his accountability to himself. He deals with the allowances in his own heart and conscience for certain actions. And it is right here where he says, all things are lawful for me. It is right here where we must be so very careful. Because if we're not careful, we'll have ourselves convinced that we can do whatever we want to, whenever we want to, however we want to, because there's not exactly a chapter and verse telling us not to. Listen, you don't have a verse tonight that says, thou shalt not smoke marijuana. You don't have that tonight, but you do have a principle. Paul asked this same church, he said, what? You can hear the astonishment. You can hear almost the sarcasm in his voice. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost tonight? Listen, everywhere you go, everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you listen to, there is an abiding presence with you. And everywhere you go, God goes with you. Everything you listen to, God listens to it. Everything you say, God has to hear it. Everywhere you put yourself, listen, God is there with you. And I wonder tonight, what is it? We would be ashamed if it was revealed what we've made the Holy Ghost endure tonight. Amen. That quenches Him and grieves Him and turns the stomach of God. We may have complete liberty to do something tonight, but we must not let that liberty become a means of justifying things which would allow us to hinder our walk with God. Listen to me tonight. If watching television tends to make me get used to sin and think lightly of it, to make iniquity less repulsive to my spirit, or to loosen my view of the highest ideals of life, then clearly it is not good, so it is absolutely bad. I have a TV tonight, amen. I'm not condemning you if you have one. But what I'm trying to tell you tonight is we have to be careful in this life. We have to guard ourselves. Because if we are not careful, before we know it, we have opened our eye gate and opened our ear gate and ultimately opened our heart to something that God never intended for us to see. We have men today that are using their so-called liberty to live however they want and do whatever they want, and they are doing great damage to themselves and doing great damage to the cause of Christ tonight. Now here's the problem with Christian liberty and the way that it's being propagated today. It's being propagated in a way to where I can really do whatever I want to, and let's see how close to the line I can get, and let's see just exactly what I can get away with doing. But can I tell you tonight that the Bible actually proves the opposite point tonight? Christian liberty is not about doing what I want to do. It is about doing what God would have me to do. And I have the freedom in the Spirit to be free from the power of sin, to be free from the penalty of sin, to be free from my past, and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ separated from those things. Paul said, oh death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He closes out that chapter and he says this. He said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. If you're not strong enough to be accountable to yourself, then you may need some help with that tonight. Amen. There are apps that are made. If you struggle with a phone and looking at things that you shouldn't, there are apps that you can include your spouse. And listen, right now, while I'm talking about this, if that repulses you and that turns your stomach and you're immediately turning away from that, you've got a problem tonight. Amen. You've got an issue with that. If accountability is something that you draw back from, well, I'm a grown man and I don't need that, and I've been paying my bills and I've been providing X amount of years and so on and so forth. Listen, if accountability is something that you shy away from, then you have a problem tonight, sir. Yeah. Christian liberty, again, is not about doing what you want to do, but it's about doing what God wants me to do. Number one, I'm accountable to God. Number two, I must be accountable to myself. And then number three, tonight, the principle is laid out for us in the Word of God. We must be accountable to others. Look what he says in verse number six. He says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Now he really gets down to the nitty gritty and he lays it out for us specifically, personally in verse number 10. He said, "For if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died." Here it is. "But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ." You're not just sinning against your brother. You're not just sinning against your own spirit. But you are sinning against the Lord Jesus Christ when you totally negate and have a disregard for the consciousness and the spirit of your Christian brother tonight. Amen. Paul deals with the effect of our actions upon others tonight. The question must be asked, if I have liberty to do something, then shouldn't I just go ahead and do it? If I have liberty to do something, then shouldn't I just do it? Listen, we are cautioned to behave that our behavior, while right in itself and intelligent to us, must be edifying to others tonight. Amen. We must not only consider our pleasure, but we must consider our neighbor's profit tonight. Well, I don't want to live for other people, and I want people to put binders on me. And that's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about at all right here. Listen, I understand we know those people that are haywire and they have more convictions than everybody, and you can't live right and tight enough for them, and they're always trying to outdo everybody, and nobody is as spiritual as them. That is not what we're dealing with right here. You can't help those people. Amen. They can't be pastored, they can't be helped, they can't be edified, they can't be anything, because they are the pinnacle, they're it tonight, amen? But we are cautioned tonight to behave so that our behavior, though right in itself, we have the liberty to do something, boy, we need to be careful. We need to consider our neighbor, consider one another tonight, amen? Listen, tonight Paul was willing to enjoy less temporal things that his brother may enjoy more spiritual things. Paul had the edification of these Christians and the edification of his brother in mind tonight. Amen. And listen, if we are going about living for ourselves and not having any regard for our neighbor and just living for ourselves, listen, we have missed one of the great hallmarks of Christianity tonight. We are not living for ourselves. No man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. But listen, as a church tonight, as a Christian tonight, listen, unity ought to be at the forefront of our mind and our heart, lifting one another up, bear ye one another's burdens tonight. Amen. I'm just talking about what the Bible says tonight. We ought to be root for one another. Amen. Not have cliques and camps and clubs and groups in the church. That's a bunch of foolishness is what that is. A bunch of high school drama foolishness. Amen. Amen. I think I'm beyond my mandate tonight a little bit. Amen. It's foolishness. Paul dealt with that party spirit. They said, one said, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter. And then the super spiritual crowd, there they are again. Well, you know, we're of Christ, and you just can't top that. Give me a break. We're not as spiritual as we think we are tonight, boy. Well, we put the halo on. We got the suit and the tie. We got the dress. I mean, we're dressed to the nines. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord tonight for all those things. And they're right. And they have their place. But do we consider our neighbor tonight? Jesus asked that question to a man. Or that man asked the question to the Lord Jesus tonight, who is my neighbor? And really the principle behind that text, you can go home and read it tonight, it's not who is my neighbor, but really it's are you a neighbor? Are you neighborly? Are you extending love? Are you extending grace? And it's all these things that we know, don't we? I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. I've butchered this. But we know all these things. But why don't we practice them tonight? We're familiar with them. We've heard them all our life. But would to God tonight we would put them into practice and consider our neighbor, consider our brother, consider our sister in Christ, and graduate beyond the pride of living for ourselves and live for God and live for others. And really make a difference in somebody else's life tonight. Amen. Let's stand together as they sing.